This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, as we take a look at the NFL landscape here and we get ready to get into the playoffs with three games left to go, you know, the Lions remind me of what happened to the Miami Dolphins last year. You know, they were flying high and then all of a sudden late in the season they lost a couple bad games. And their defense fell apart because of injuries. I don't know how many injuries you guys had, Eddie. I know you're, the Dolphins are your team. But
it was significant.
It was significant, but nothing like that. I think the Lions right now have 22 guys on IR.
It works.
And it's a shame because, you know, I think a lot of NFL fans would have loved to have seen the Lions. Maybe they still will make it. I think, you know, Dan Campbell will stand in front of that team. No excuses, man. That whole kind of, you know, mindset, which I think is great. And I love the fact that he's not going to use injuries for excuses. But, you know, look, it's a war of attrition, the NFL season, especially with 17 games.
Yeah, it is, and you know I'm one of the few people that does not love the Lions story, you know, growing up the way I did, rooting for the Minnesota Vikings, but I agree. I mean, they are a likable team for a lot of reasons and a franchise who hasn't done it and hasn't been there, and you think about all the fans, and you know, it's sort of like the Cubs and the Red Sox at all those years or whatever, but yeah, I mean, it is a mess right now, and you also got to think, you know, when you have a coordinator who is as sought after as Ben Johnson, and he's probably going to leave this year, you just don't want to waste that. And I know they made it to the championship game last year, but they were the team for a majority of this season. And it's sort of the way I feel about Brian Flores. Like, I think Brian Flores is probably going to get a job this year, and, you know, he revamped that entire defense and has picked players and that general manager and taken guys off of other rosters who were nobodies and undrafted free agents and got them playing at an unbelievably high level. Like guys that, you know, the Houston Texans were like discarding that they pick up and are now players of the month for Minnesota. So the point is that, you know, they're not going to be the same without Ben Johnson. They're just not. So if they do fall apart on the other side of the ball, and Ben Johnson then goes to the rival Chicago Bears and they don't make it to the Super Bowl this year,
that's a double whammy for them. And, you know, like they're a team that averages, you know, 32 points a game.
That's crazy.
So they're going to have to do it with offense. And, you know, there was a lot of discussion about that the onside kick with 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And I know we touched on it a little bit yesterday. They attempted an onside kick against the Bills, 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And, you know, and they were asking Dan Campbell, you know, why did you do that? And, you know, he said, you know, this is one of these things that we do. I regret it now after, you know, after the play happens, of course, he regrets it. And it's easy to second guess. And, you know, they were talking about it on the broadcast, and Tony was thinking that it was a little bit too early as well. I mean, my thing is that their defense was so decimated that if Dan Campbell said after the game, hey, guys, you know, you saw Josh Allen and how they were playing on offense, there's no way we're going to stop him. So the best way to win the game is to keep our defense off the field and him off the field and try to possess the ball for as long as we could and come away with points. And unfortunately, that particular play backfired on them. But that's going to be the way he's going to have to coach moving forward here now, because Aaron Glenn cannot be aggressive with his defense. They're going to have to me, you're not going to be putting guys on the island one-on-ones. You're going to be playing back. You're going to be playing, you know, kind of the umbrella coverages and things of that nature just to try to keep everything in front of you. So I just don't know how far they can go at this point because of the way that their team now has been decimated through injury.
Yeah, and a lot of these really good teams, I mean, you got to look at the other side of the ball. Obviously, the Lions we're talking about, the Bills have had back-to-back games where they've looked like a sieve, and the Baltimore Ravens have had their issues defensively this year. So when you talk about, you know, balanced teams, which team's defense is going to step up in these playoff games? Because there really hasn't been a great defense all year.
Kansas City.
But you'd say that's a great defense?
But no, I'm just saying they've been one of the best defenses in the league. The Houston Texans have a top five defense, believe it or not.
They're
not exciting to you right now, and maybe they'll get their game together here. But you know that's another team. The Rams' defense has gotten better as the year has gone on.
Well, they just got torched by the Bills, though.
I understand, but then they came back and they played a tough game against San Francisco and won it in the muck in
Eagles,
Santa Clara.
Leaving the Eagles out was a bad one. Yeah, the Eagles for sure, and the Vikings' defense has been good. It hasn't been great. But the Eagles are probably
team. There's no, you know, 2,000 Ravens, 85 Bears.
And there never will be again.
No, nothing like that. Because the rules have changed significantly as well. But I don't know. Josh Allen is the difference maker right now. To me, he's the guy that, even with a suspect defense, which they have, and they've played two pretty good offensive teams back-to-back now, you know, he's been able to overcome all of that. You know, only 1-1 in those games, but they also beat the Lions and the Chiefs.
Yeah. Now, are you more of a total yards or total points defensive guy?
I want the points first, and then I want the yards.
All right. So, top five points, least amount of points.
Okay, Kansas City's got to be right there.
Kansas City is, you know what? There's actually technically three tied for number one with the same amount given up.
Okay.
But Kansas City, so technically Kansas City would be three on this list because there's three teams tied at number one, but they're really fifth, if that makes sense.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. These are your teams. The Broncos, the Chargers, and the Eagles are all tied with 247 points given up. The Minnesota Vikings are next at 252, and then the Chiefs after that are 259.
All right, so who do you add up? You know, the Eagles have to be the best balanced team in the NFL.
Yep.
They have to be because they can run it. They have a big offensive line. The quarterback is a dual-threat quarterback. They got wide receivers who can break it, and they have a defense that can hold teams, you know, to a reasonable amount of points.
Yep.
So they, right now, as we sit here today, given, you know, and they lost Brandon Graham, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So sitting here today, they have to be the number one team in the NFL.
I would say that, yep. I would agree. So the most balanced teams to me are the Eagles, the Vikings, and the Chiefs. Those are the three most balanced teams.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that they're the best teams.
Well, now let's look at the coach and quarterback combination.
Well, obviously.
Like the coach and quarterback combination to me. And by the way, I think the Rams should be a part of that list because they've, the last 5 or 6 weeks, they've played a lot better. And I don't know about the Chargers. The Chargers have had a strange, like,
well, that last week. I mean, I can't say anything positive to them if they got the crap knocked out of them by the Bucs.
I think they've lost three out of the last four. And it started with when Baltimore went out there and beat them in the Harbaugh Bowl.
That's right. Yep. And I did like the Chargers in that game, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be splitting hairs at the top of the NFC. It really is. And let's not forget the Packers are in there too. That's a team that's pretty decent on both sides of the ball.
I would say that to me, the Eagles or the Vikings are going to have the number one seed. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I mean,
that would be amazing.
Yeah, I'm getting nervous now.
You getting nervous?
I'm getting a little nervous, yeah.
Well, you get nervous. You're activated.
Yeah, but I'm getting a little nervous.
But I love when you get activated. I see the passion in you. I'll be watching Rangers tonight. I'll be passionate. And I'm watching my number one center minus 15 and my newly minted right wing minus 13. I mean, yeah, I'm yeah. like am I in number 20 whose jersey should go in the rafters when he's finally done playing as a Ranger, has got 3 goals in 30 games. Or 28 games.
You know, it's just like, you know, you read some signs and things, you know.
Yeah, yeah, you're reading signs. I like it.
Well, there's just signs.
Okay, what's the biggest sign that you've seen thus far? Is it a positive sign or a negative sign?
No. It's just like things are so wacky that it's almost like, is this the year for a team like, all right, first of all, the fact that the Lions have been the best team, right? The Vikings, in all the years that they've collapsed, they've been the best team. Someone comes up and nips them. So it's almost like they're now in the other side of things. Like the Vikings are ready to go up and get them and knock them off as opposed to the opposite.
Okay.
Now, Randy Moss, we hope he's healthy. But yes. The fact that this is like my guy, they break out the 98 Vikings with Carter and Jake Reed. And they're paying homage to these teams of the past because Randy's not feeling well, and he's powering through this, and lets Moss cancer and the whole thing, and the whole community's behind him. Like we're hearkening back to the days of my absolute fevered fandom. So that's a sign. And we've got two quarterbacks that I've had to sit here and watch play terrible, both on that roster. And wouldn't it be unbelievable if the Vikings finally win a Super Bowl and both Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones get a ring as a Minnesota Viking? And by the way, first break, Monday Night Football last night, Dua Lipa song going into break.
It's a bird, you moron.
I understand, Jerry. But there's signs.
Wow. There's something special going on.
There's signs.
You can feel it.
It's just a wacky kind of year. And it's just, it almost feels like it would take something wacky like this for a team like that to get over the hump.
Here's what I could see. I could see the Vikings and the Eagles in the NFC Championship game in Minnesota this time.
Oh, okay. I'll take that.
In Minnesota this time.
I'll take that.
And who is out there for the coin toss?
Randy Moss. Oh, I just got chills.
Oh, I mean, you are going to be uncontrollable.
You are
going to be out of your freaking mind.
Yeah, I mean, you know me. I'm either activated or I'm not, and that would be an activation spot.
But I don't know why you're not. You should be activated right now.
I am, but I'm just nervous.
I sound like you're cautiously optimistic.
I can't because I can't. You know what it's like, man. I can't go full. I just can't go full send yet. I can't. Now, because they clinch the playoff spot. They're going to be in the playoffs.
Spell check here now.
But I just got to.
Then you can hit send.
Yeah, well, true, right? But I got to see where they end up. I got to see what seed they are. I got to see the match. I can't go full send yet. Because I just don't want to believe and then get killed again.
I mean, they do have the toughest remaining schedule. I will say that.
Yeah.
I would say out of the Lions, Packers, and Vikings, I would say the Vikings have the toughest schedule. They're at Seattle this week. Maybe no Geno Smith. Then they have Green Bay at home, and then they have to go to Detroit. And that Detroit game could be flexed into prime time, and that could be a game for not only the number one seed, but obviously for the NFC North, assuming that the Lions can win at Chicago this week.
Yeah.
And then win at, I don't see them beating San Francisco, do you? Not with this defense the way it is. That's the Deebo Samuel game. That's where he has like 12 catches and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, we had that major drop last week.
Right.
Yeah, actually, but this is exactly what I'm saying. Like, it's just they could still very easily be a 5 seed, and that's just tough. That's just a tough road.
So know? I'll tell you, 5 going to 4, which would most likely be Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but it's not so much that first matchup. It's just having to play every one of your playoff games on the road.
Giants did it twice. No, Giants did.
But the Giants are an outdoor team. Like they, you know what I'm saying? It's like when you get these guys outside on grass for multiple weeks against the best teams in the NFL, that's generally when they end up losing. That's just what it is. You know, like the you know, the Minneapolis miracle happens, and then the next week they get outside on grass against Nick Foles and the Eagles, and they get their asses handed.
I will say that Sam Darnold has been given a lotto ticket. Now, he has to obviously make the plays, and he has to do it himself, but he's been given a really good offensive team, a tremendous offensive head coach, and a pretty damn good defense. He has been handed the lotto ticket.
Yeah,
he
and
could take this team to the Super Bowl, man. Man, I who knows what kind of contract he's going to end up with.
Yeah, and it's going to be from another organization, unfortunately, because they believe it's the system out there. They want to be having a starting quarterback is on a rookie contract, so he's going to go somewhere else.
No matter what. Never know, man.
I mean, if he ends up taking them all the way to the Super Bowl, then yeah, I'd love to keep him, but I just feel like this has been the plan all along.
Remember you guys got rid of Case Keenum and brought in Kirk Cousins.
That's right.
Yeah, the Minneapolis miracle and everything.
Never got farther than that. Never got farther with Kirk Cousins than we did with Case Keenum. Crazy.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry's here. He's got an update for us. What's up, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And we're brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Is today December 17th?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
yes,
so that means today will be the first airing of the Aaron Rodgers documentary on Netflix.
Ooh.
Now, these are new to me. I saw this on YouTube, Mark, just 2 days ago, so maybe you've seen this already. If you have, we're going to play it again. This was another trailer that I saw. This was Rodgers talking about how all of this helps him get close to his feelings, basically.
I think part of the real joy in this work is it's such a feminine spirit of ayahuasca. You know, we can model a new way of thinking about masculinity, or what it means to be a man, honestly, because it's the balance between the divine masculine and divine feminine.
And divine masculine and divine feminine is what he said at the end there. I know that
through doing ayahuasca?
I suppose so, yeah, yeah.
So there's such a feminine thing to ayahuasca, and when he does ayahuasca, it redefines what it is to be a man.
Right, here he is talking about getting in touch with his feminine side.
You start to peel back some of those layers of who they think you are when you start getting deep and getting emotional, and I think that's what it means to be a well-balanced man, is to be able to tap into that divine feminine and be vulnerable.
So that makes him more of a, he's saying that makes you more of a man and a more of a complete man when you can tap into your feminine side and be vulnerable.
You put on high heels?
I mean, that,
I don't think that's what he means.
Oh.
how do you,
it's a jackass.
Like, how do you tap into your feminine side? Like, what, like make a big deal out of nothing? What are the other ways that you could tap into it?
Fight purely with emotion with no facts.
Yeah.
It is ludicrous how much of a woman I am.
Right. Don't listen to a thing that the man is saying and put words in his mouth. Is that a way to tap into your feminine side? Or you could overspend on frivolous items.
I don't know that's where he was going with this.
All right.
I think he just meant you got to watch it now. I think by doing the ayahuasca, that's where the feminine side of you comes out. Or you get more in touch with it. I don't know. This is Aaron Rodgers.
He's not going to be like making out with some aborigine or something on this thing, is he?
I have no idea. I don't know. The video I just saw, they're sitting around a campfire and... Well, they are.
I'm just trying to think, like, who the next Jet coach is going to be. You think, like, him and John Gruden could sit down and break some bread?
What are you talking about, that feminine thing, man? What was that all about? Huh? Trying to be a woman, man? I know that's trendy right now. I got things I got to know, man. You transitioning, Aaron? You know what's going on here? You taking those hormones? You chop that penis off? Is that what we're doing here, man? I just want to know. God. Just trying to figure that out, man. Mm. You know, it's all new to me. Been out of the league for a little bit.
So anyway, that airs today.
Okay.
If you're interested.
Well, you know that was going to come. You know,
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Apparently so. The Monday night game, we had two of them last night, including your Vikings beating up on the Bears.
Offset eye, Darnold under center. Snap, spin, handoff. Jones slicing over the right guard. Touchdown, Minnesota. He'll leap into the stands as he used to do at Lambeau. Now does it in Minnesota. And the Vikings build on their lead, 19-3 late in the third.
That is Kevin Harlan, Westwood One. Yeah, mm-hmm. Aaron Jones with the touchdown run, 30-12, the final score. Here was Jones on NFL Network after the game on the field. We're in this together, regardless of what public opinion might have been.
Nobody believed in us. When nobody believes in you, but the guys around you, that's powerful. And if everybody believes, we can accomplish a lot of things.
Well, right now they're 12-2, and they are accomplishing a lot of things. The Bears are 4-10. Sam Darnold, 231 and a touchdown. Williams on the other side for Chicago, 18-31, 191 and a touchdown. Here's their interim head coach, Thomas Brown. I didn't hear the question, but given what he's talking about here, I imagine the reporter was saying that it looked like the team kind of gave up.
I would disagree with you. I think if you watch the tape, our guys battled until the very end. So I think saying that we don't have a lot of left in the tank alludes to our guys quit. And I didn't see it at all on tape. So I think our guys will continue to battle like they've been battling. I'm continuing to fight for them and stay behind them. And so we'll go back to work.
Fair answer, because, you know, a lot of coaches are getting those same questions.
Yep.
About the team quitting and team not showing up. And there's a lot of chatter around the losing teams in that regard. And the team coach and players have got to fight that mentality. And they got to fight that, you know, that opinion from a lot of people that are not on the field.
Fair to say it's been an interesting first 14 games to an NFL career for Caleb Williams.
Coaches getting fired and all of this stuff that's going on, 4-10 right now. So been able to wake up, be consistent, do that every day. You know how it's, you know, been going is encouraging for me. It's encouraging you know, for this team, and we got to keep going.
Hmm. All right. Well,
listen, I kind of like those answers from him. He just needs another year, needs to get away from a little bit, get a new coach in there, and then start over, start fresh, and he'll be so much better next year.
Falcons beat the Raiders 15-9 in an ugly game. The Falcons now 7-7. Kirk Cousins didn't do a whole lot, and where he can improve going forward?
I think it's always just decision-making, you know, so that you're not putting the ball in harm's way and not trying to be too aggressive. I think that's really the key, not you know, protecting the football.
So 7-7, still challenging in that NFC South. The Raiders 2-12, challenging and fighting with the Giants for that number one overall pick in the draft. A couple of notable updates. In Seattle, Geno Smith. Here is their head coach, Mike McDonald. We know Smith left the Sunday night game with a knee injury.
Optimistic signs come out of the tests. So, Geno's a beast, man. He's in here working out in the morning. Working through it. I mean, I know he's still feeling it, but this guy's tough as nails, and hopefully we'll see him practice, you know, throughout the week with optimistic and be ready for the game.
How about that? They were thinking he could miss the rest of the season. Now it's possible he could play this week. So that would be interesting for sure. And also with the Eagle game and the Steelers on Sunday, T.J. Watt got injured in that game. Here was Mike Tomlin offering this update.
We've gotten quality production from my edge people, regardless of who's in the game, and I expect that to continue. But I'm also optimistic about the availability of TJ based on what I've seen today.
And so we shall see. The one guy I completely forgot to check on was Grant Dubose. Just hit me as I'm sitting here now. I didn't see any update on him. I will look for that for next hour. Then there is what the Bills are doing. The Bills have put up 1,000,000 points. They won impressively in Detroit. There are some that believe Josh Allen basically won the MVP award with the way he played on Sunday. And to that, Adam Schein wants to gloat on Sirius XM.
Hey, morons. How's your Monday? How's your Monday, dopes? All those losers who said my guy Josh Allen was overrated.
Yes, not. So, yeah.
He was doing the highlights again this past week because those guys are on remote, and he had some funny line about Ian getting him into a restaurant or something.
Oh, did he?
He was like, Josh Allen, Locke, just like getting me into Rayo's, Ian, back in 2002.
No, that was Tiki Barber getting him into Helios.
Oh, there you go. It was something like that. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, he was sending it back to, who was Tiki
Andrew Catalan and Tiki.
Right.
Al's guy. Yeah, anytime I hear Andrew Catalan, I think of Al now. It's really amazing.
Andrew Catalan.
Well, I think I had confused him over the years with the guy with the very large ears.
Andrew Siciliano.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Who's now the Browns radio announcer, I believe.
Right.
Because he lost the red zone on Verizon?
Yeah, whatever it was, yeah, when they consolidated. Is that a pack of cigarettes next to you?
These are my candy cigarettes from a nice listener, Suzanne.
Oh, okay.
And she sent them in to me and Al. A little picture of me on it, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Would you like a candy cigarette?
No.
Would you like a candy cigarette?
No, thanks.
Yeah, all right.
I just look like a real pack of cigarettes. That'd be something. You just lit up in the studio in the middle of your update.
Not quite.
So, which I'm sure happened many times over the years in radio in the 70s.
Back then, yes. Yeah.
I just want to make sure that since everybody's given Josh Allen the MVP, that we don't overlook Lamar Jackson's almost 3,600 yards passing, 34 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, completing about 69% of his passes, and actually has run for over 700 yards. I mean, are we just forgetting everything that he's doing?
I was just trying to play a funny clip for Adam Shine.
Okay. I just want to remind Adam that Lamar is still playing and is still having an incredible season.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, you know, Lamar threw 5 touchdown passes against the Giants. Anybody could do that, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Falcons play the Giants this week. You want to cure that Falcons offense problem?
Yes.
Play the Giants.
Kirk Cousins.
I mean, look at these numbers that Lamar Jackson has. They are insane.
They indeed.
Bill Belichick was with McAfee.
Yeah, okay.
I went through it. I don't hear one question about the Jet report. Now, I might have missed it. I don't think I did. It was really all just about what he's doing at North Carolina. And then I'll get into just one thing with the NFL. Here he is just talking about the process, enjoying it.
It's great to be at North Carolina and great to be at this great university and you know, back in the game. We're spending money, not as much as we spent in the NFL, but, you know, we're tossing around a little bit of money. And so, you know, I kind of, you know, enjoy seeing the players getting compensated.
And then as McAfee usually does, he goes around the room and lets the other guys ask questions. And one of the guys did ask, what about the wins record? As this is where I thought the Jet question was going to come in, which it didn't. What about the wins record as an NFL coach? You're so close to it.
I never really gave that one a lot of thought, to be completely honest with you. It's not about wins to me. It's about championships.
And he would continue talking more about the wins and the championships.
It's great. And I'm not being disrespectful at all. What means the most to me is the 8 Super Bowl trophies that I had a small part in. And I'm very proud to have been part of those teams.
Small part.
A small part, yes.
Yeah, humble brag. Humble brag. So there you go. Bill Belichick with McAfee on ESPN. The Cavaliers beat the Nets 130-101. Cleveland led 37-17 after the first quarter. Never looked back. A very unhappy Nets head coach, Jordy Fernandez.
We didn't compete out there. We were not selfless. And for sure, we didn't support each other. So with that being said, it's very simple. I just want to see a better fight.
Serious question, whether it's the Nets or any bad team. Does he know, like, you don't want to win. You want one of these 3 studs coming out. You want to be top 3 in the NBA draft. So,
he's not thinking that way, man.
No. I know he's not. What I'm saying is, how is he viewed from the front office? Is it, like, because if they win too many games and end up with the 7th pick and you lose out on whether it's Harper, Bailey, or Flag,
right,
then you just screwed the franchise.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, it's a tough spot there. He's in a no-win situation at all. And, you know, he's going to have to go through this entire season dealing with this.
Right, because he wants to win.
Yeah, but he's also, it's more interesting to me, like a guy like Brian Daboll is in his 3rd year and is on the hot seat. Like, he just got here, Fernandez. So he's going to be here. He's going to be here next year. And
the way they discard coaches in the NBA.
Yeah, don't count on that.
I mean, I agree with you. I would think he gets a pass this year, but I don't know. It's just a weird situation. You do have the Thunder and the Bucks in Vegas for the Cup Championship tonight. Here's Giannis. Wants it for the guys that don't make as much as he does.
Some players like might not make that money ever in their career. So it's definitely, you play for them too. Like, it's this ongoing joke that we have within our locker room that we say, like, we play for the young guys because this money will mean a lot to them, but it will mean a lot to everybody. It's a lot of money.
Ongoing joke. We make a lot more than you.
Yeah, right.
Broke-ass beach. Anyhow, that is a standalone game tonight in Las Vegas. You got St. John's home for DePaul. Seton Hall visits Villanova. And on the ice, the Rangers look to right the ship in Nashville. The Devils will be in St. Louis against the Blues, and the Islanders on the road at Carolina.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A lot of action going on in here. There goes Tom Izzo out with a teleprompter.
Doing our foundation end of year video.
Oh, okay.
You know, and call to action, that kind of thing. And so somebody on my staff wrote the copy.
They did a terrible job?
No, they didn't do a terrible job. They just did a really long. I'm like, what? You didn't have to be that long.
Yeah. I mean, let's just get to the point. Short and sweet.
Try to get to the point, yes.
Raise some money for this situation.
For the CF community,
this is where you. This is where you go to do so?
Yes. So we appreciate that. We have to edit it. We have to, you know, it's long. And plus, I know how much Drew Kalisky and the CBS NFL Today guys missed my Remington read.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have the Remington Award, and that's coming up. I have to do that read here, and they used to take bets on how many times it would take me to get through it, how many takes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Coach Cowher would sit right next to me with that scowl and just laugh at me because I'd make a mistake. Like, probably, it was probably like a 45 to minute, 10-second read. And I'd get to like 37 seconds and I'd screw up a word and he'd start laughing.
Of course.
It was the Remington read. It was 20 years of trying to get that thing done in one take.
Yeah. Not easy.
No, especially late on a Sunday afternoon.
Right. You've been through it all and up early and doing everything. And then all of a sudden, hey, one take. Let's try to get this thing done. Nah, not so fast.
Yeah. And then, you know, everybody would just taking pot shots at you, but that was part of what it was. That was the charm.
That's what you miss, the camaraderie.
Yes.
Of the locker room.
Yeah. Well, that locker room, yeah.
By the way, are we, so we're doing another chalk talk. Is that going to be with Coach Cowher?
No, it's going to be with Phil Sims.
Oh, Phil Sims. Okay, good. Yes. Nice. All right, so we'll do that with Phil coming up at Teller's in January.
That's right.
So I'm sure I don't know if tickets are available for that yet.
Not yet.
Chalky McChalk face.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Will you get Phil to do a live Fox call?
I would love that.
You know he's going to do that. You know exactly what he's going to do, yes.
Like, I got Phil to say moose knuckle on the air. And tricked him right into that.
Yes.
And I got him to do the Fox call on the air, so I'm sure.
The moose knuckle. Oh, my God.
The moose knuckle. I'm sure that he'll do the Fox call. We'll get him to do the Fox call that night.
Yep.
I set up.
I'll tell you that. I've done a lot of events.
Thanks again, Chalky McChalkface.
In the last, I don't know, 20 years. But that Teller's event last year and that Teller's area, that thing was, I never expected it to be like that. That was like a 5-star event.
It was absolutely awesome. And the Bolson Restaurant Group does an amazing job. I actually set up a holiday man lunch at Teller's in one of their rooms above the dining room there. It's like the boardroom.
You got a man lunch going on?
I got a big, so I was thinking, I was like, I got Saville, like, get old Saville dudes. And, do this man lunch on, because I have all this vacation time. We got all this vacation time after Christmas. I'm like, I got to fill it with something.
A man lunch.
I want to do some man stuff.
Day drinking.
So it's like at 2 o'clock, you know, on one of these days. And we're going to go in there and we're going to have a good time.
We'll get the man dinner tonight.
We do have a lot of man stuff. We have a man dinner tonight as well.
Yes.
A lot of man stuff going on with us.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, these men are a little different tonight.
They are a little different. They're not like, they're not like the Saville men. But they're so as Aaron Rodgers is getting in touch with his feminine side, we're just doing man stuff.
Yes.
It's a ton of man stuff. And we have to get through the Holland Tunnel this evening at rush hour.
Yeah.
That'll be nice. We might as well just walk. Why don't we just walk?
No,
it's nice out.
Walk what? Through the Holland Tunnel?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea.
I think maybe what we could take is maybe we take the ferry over to Jersey City, because that's where we're going for dinner tonight, Jersey City.
Huh.
Do the ferry.
You could take a ferry. It's warm out.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll do the ferry tonight.
Okay.
As opposed to sitting in traffic, because it's a gridlock alert day today.
Where does the ferry leave from?
Right downtown here.
Okay. I'm down. Yeah, I love a ferry.
Right off of Battery Park there.
I love myself a ferry.
Yeah.
I'm not above that.
I'm not above it either. I love a ferry.
What type of clientele you get on that ferry?
Good Quality
clientele. It's not like the Subway.
This is Wall Street clientele.
I'm just making sure. It's not like the Subway.
Well, no, I mean, the Subway is filled with a lot of Wall Street youngins.
Yeah, it's also filled with every letter of hepatitis and many criminals as well. So,
Well, we could bring our own hepatitis with us, all right? How about that?
You've got hepatitis?
The thing about, you know, taking a car to tonight's dinner, you know, you can have a couple cocktails in the car on the way there. I'm not sure if the ferry serves alcohol or not.
The ferry, the ferry that goes from Port Jeff to Bridgeport, they've got a whole bar and a bartender.
Yeah, I know they do. Yeah, I've been on that one. Yes.
Yeah. Which is a little dangerous if you take your car on there. You got to be careful. You can't be doing that.
Yeah, but this ride is like 20 minutes tops.
Oh, this one here?
No. From Jersey City?
That's less than that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So we're not, you know, we get on, get off. I think that's what we're going to do.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think probably be the smart thing to do.
I didn't even know that was an option.
Yeah.
And take the car back. We don't have to take the
ferry.
We'll
take the car back, yeah.
And sitting there looking at, all right, we got to look at the times.
See, that's the great thing about the ferry system around here. You don't have to deal and sit in traffic in the Holland Tunnel in Hudson or Canal or Bleecker or coming off of the West Side Highway on the canal.
Have you ever taken this ferry to Jersey City before?
I've taken the ferry to Staten Island plenty of times.
Well, Staten Island ferry, yeah. I've done that after our 40-mile bike tour. I've been on that Staten Island ferry. And then the Long Island ferries, obviously, to go to Fire Island. I've been on a million ferries there.
Yeah,
and then the ones that go up to Connecticut have been on ferry. Been on a lot of ferries. This will be a new ferry experience for me.
I'm pretty sure. Let me just make sure. Jersey City, take the ferry. New York Waterway, there you go. There it is.
Okay.
Frequent and enjoyable weekday and weekend ferries, midtown and downtown. They have a ticketless app.
All right.
And they have connecting shuttles all throughout Midtown.
All right, I'm in. Why don't you do that, Al?
We'll do this right here.
Take the ferry to work every day.
We're going to go to Paulus Hook down there at Brookville Place.
That's where we're going?
Yes.
Okay. I'll talk to you about what time, because off the air.
The ride is 7 minutes.
That's it?
Yeah.
It's one drink.
It's one of those little airline drinks.
Yeah.
Or seven car bombs.
A nip. One of those nips.
Yes.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
So we could leave a little bit later then. Well,
I'll look at the schedule.
I don't know what I'm going to do today.
I think I might go over to our...
And you could walk there?
Pretty sure. Yeah, obviously. So we got the parts at Brookville.
What's our favorite bar over here, the Ear Inn? I might go over there and get some of those dumplings.
Yeah.
Maybe an old speckled hen. And hopefully get into my hotel and take a nap. That sounds like a day.
We got the perfect time right here.
Okay. Nice.
There you go.
Should we take the one before it just in case?
No.
You want to cut it close like that?
Yeah, like, you know, when I arrive, like you're all excited about this dinner, you want to arrive a little bit late.
You don't want to pretend like you actually want to be there or anything.
I'm looking forward to it.
No, I am too. I think I was inspired, you know, to do my Saville man lunch by this particular man dinner.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, this is great. Let me set up my own man thing. And I was like, so they ask you, because you could have like an actual, you pick your menu and everything. You could have like a header, like Teller's does this nice thing. You could actually put on the menu what you want to call the thing. And like, I wrote a bunch of things down. I kept erasing them. Because it just sounds weird if I have a Saville man lunch.
Yeah, but how many guys are there?
Only like 14 of us.
Why? I don't understand why they always have to give you like some sort of prefix menu. Why can't you just order off the menu itself?
You could, but they prefer not. And I love Tellers, and they do a great job, so I do what they want.
Okay.
And they've got all great options there, you know?
No, they do.
But it's like, it's just easier for them to, you know, pump it. That's holiday time.
Yeah, if it's
time,
eight
man.
Or over people, then it's better for the place.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, they're serving other people downstairs. I mean, the kitchen's wide open. I mean, I could see Al in there shaking his head agreeing with me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they wouldn't be able to handle two tables of seven people.
Yeah, I'm taking my employees out for their holiday dinner, too. We got another prefix menu. I'm like, why do we have to have a prefix menu? Why can't we just order off the menu? They got 100 people out in the restaurant.
There's
got
to be a reason why they do
it. It's timing also. Different tables will have their stuff come out different times and all that.
I'm just picturing, I just had this vision of Eddie as a sommelier and like walking around, go, just do the timing. Just, is everything okay? Can I suggest the Syrah? like Eddie the restaurateur.
Right.
Going from table to table.
You know, and people have asked me, like, you know, do you guys ever do anything at the radio station? You guys ever go out for dinners anymore? I said, no. And I said, why? Or people are asking me why. And I'm like, well, because Al Dukes basically put the kibosh on everything. His negativity has ruined any, like, get-together with the guys that we have here.
You know what so Al never has specifically kiboshed a holiday lunch, which we have done many times, or the dinner and everything else. But I think that over the last couple of years, because of the live shows that we've done, and one of us has had to travel or whatever, because it's been, what, we've had one of each of the last 2 years around Christmas time. I think the tolerance for spending more time with each other.
Yes,
doing
exactly.
Things has...
Well, it's not the with each other part. It's the...
Hanging around doing stuff.
Yeah, right. Thing. And having your night just ruined and worrying about getting back and the dog hotel and
so
everything.
So it's enough, you know. But that's why but me and you will do our man stuff, and they can do whatever they want to do.
Quickly, Tony in Middletown. Tony, what's happening, brother?
Yeah, hey, guys. I just want to let you know, I used to travel in from Delaware into the city, and the ferry is right there. Pilot's Hook is one of the best ways to get into the city. Either the train from Sea Caucus or that ferry. Great experience, in and out, you know, no traffic, no tunnels, no bridges. I recommend it. Hey, this is going to make New Jersey a lot of money because the Holland Tunnel is going to be losing money because people are going to be taking the ferry or that Sea Caucus train in to get into the city.
How long has this ferry been around, Tony?
Oh, my goodness.
It's a long time.
Decade.
But you're saying it's going to cost...
because congestion pricing.
He's talking about congestion.
Here's what I'm going to say. It's going to cost the city because once people catch wind of this, because you don't even know about it, and you've been in the city for a long time, that's the best way for even a tourist, say if you're coming from the Jersey side, do not drive into the city. Just take that ferry or the Sea Caucus train into the city. And it's
there you go. There's an advocate for mass transit right there, Tony. Good job.
Yeah, good job, Tony. Yeah,
we ought to support mass transit around here. Just don't want to pay for it, you know, with our cars.
Right. I think the ferry system should advertise here on the radio station.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That's what he says. Like, when people get wind of it, it's been around for decades, and people still haven't gotten wind of it.
It's just that we haven't used it because we haven't had a reason to use it. And tonight, we do have a reason to use it, and I brought it up because I do know about it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm ready to go.
I get it.
Ready to go right now. Hop on that ferry. Maybe I'll just take it back and forth from now until the dinner time. Just go, I got nothing else to do.
You can get a lot of drinks then.
Hours and hours and hours going back from Jersey City to downtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
Get to know the captain. The whole thing. I really have nothing to do today. If I can't get into that hotel early to take a nap, I'm just going to wander the streets. I have no idea what I'm going to do.